Now, model father. Some of us think a model father is that kind of daddy that brings home the bacon. That model father is always there when you want him to be there. That model father is a provider and one that makes himself present and one that just looks like a daddy. Always out there playing ball with his son. Always out there to help his little girl when she falls down and skins her knee. And that model father is right there saying, "Oh, my baby." That model father. We think of model fathers when we think of individuals that are people that the world looks up to. You know, you can look at Little House on the Prairie, right? And you can see that model father. I forget his name. Joe Cartwright got a new show. A lot of people think that's a model father, all right? You can always look at that old TV show that I used to look at over the year called Father Knows Best. You all remember that with Robert Young? He always had the right answers. He knew just what to say, just what to do. Father knows best, that model father. We may look at television and see some old shows. Let me see if I can think. My Three Sons, the model father was always there. What is the one about the family when the man and the woman had children and they both got married and got together? The Brady Bunch, the model father. See, we know that. We see it on television. Yeah, that's the way daddy is. And then if you want to, who's the father on the show that Fonzie was in? What was the name of that? Happy Days. Cunningham, right? The model father. Mr. Cunningham is always there. We have in our minds that picture of what a model father is. But we read in the scriptures this morning in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, what the Bible says a model father is. I am not, and I'll mention that right up front, I am not that kind of biblical model father. Brother Monin, you are not. What? You are not that biblical pattern of a model father every day of your life. We try, we strain, Brother Frost, we strain every day to be like that, but something messes up. Yeah, I look out there, I see Gregory sitting next to his son. No, Brother Greg, you are not the model father for your son. What you mean? I clothe him, I take care of him, I spank him, not enough, but I take care of him. No, you are not that model father. No. Charles sitting next to Jenny there looking all nice, decked out in this white jacket. Charles, no, you are not the model husband. No, you're not. No. I'm saved, Pastor Coleman, yes. You saved, all right. But I want you to pay attention to me and look at what God says that model husband or that model father is like. And I want you, as well as myself, men, from this date on, to strive to be like this. Now, when I say strive, you've got to strive, because this is not going to happen automatically. Ladies, wives, mothers, grandmothers, aunts, sisters, stop trying to mold your man into a model father. It will never work. It never has worked. It never will work. Give up. God has to do the work. You can't, you never could. Women, you probably said, "I've been struggling with that knucklehead for 28 years, and he still doesn't seem to get the..." That's right. He has to get the biblical lesson from his heavenly father, not from his earthly mother. Mothers, they got these little children, it's putting this in their head. I don't want you to grow up to be like your daddy. I want you to grow up to be like what my idea of your daddy should be. Forget it. You fail from jump. They are not going to be like you want them to be. Most sons are going to grow up to be, get this fathers, get this husbands, get this fathers to be. Most sons are going to want to grow up to be just like you are, because they are looking dead at you as their role model. They're saying, "I want to be just like daddy." Now, on Mother's Day, I told you ladies, I think in passing, that your daughters are going to be just like you mold them. The way that you mold them, those daughters are going to grow up and they're going to be just like that. That is, if you are slow and sluggardly, your son is going to be slow and sluggardly. If you have no zeal about your Christian faith and your son becomes a Christian, your daughter becomes a Christian, they probably will have no Christian zeal at all. They will be sluggardly. They will be just as unconcerned about spiritual matters as you are. You better trust me. What you are before your offspring, they will become it. They must become it. What's needed in our unstable society today are model fathers. Now, we live in a society that's full of corruption, where fathers are only seen as breadwinners. You ask the average child, and you know what they will tell you? What I expect my daddy to do? Get up 5 days a week and go to work and bring home the bacon. I need new shoes, I need new clothes, I need somewhere to sleep, I need somewhere to stay. I expect daddy to do that. And the minute they get a phone call, daddy was in an accident, he won't be able to work because they had to take an arm or a leg off, the first thing that family does is go into chaos because they're looking at dollar signs. They're looking at daddy. They're not looking at daddy. They're saying the money stops when daddy stops. That's not the ideal daddy. You should be like this, church. If anything happens to that breadwinner, and if you don't have a penny of insurance, which I think is totally embarrassing for any kind of father that's concerned about his family, and if he doesn't have a penny's worth of insurance, you should be more concerned about him. What can I do for daddy instead of what is he going to cease to do for me? So that draws everybody into the sermon. See, we've all got to respond. See, we lay that heavy charge on daddy, but we need model fathers. See, God still calls men. Yes, he does. He calls men. He didn't create Eve first. He created Adam first. Man. There's something about a man that makes a woman fall in love with him. Isn't it, lady? Something about a man. The way he stands, the way he talks, the way he makes tea. I'm glad to be a man. Now, not taking anything away, Sister Blake, from you beautiful women. Because without you beautiful women, we would be less men. We would be shaky representatives of the male species. So we need good women to make us good men. God still calls men. He calls men to pastor. Listen, ladies. You may love the Lord Jesus with your whole heart, your soul, your mind, but he ain't never going to call you the pastor. No, because you can't stand like a man stands. You can't take authority like a man gives that authority. There's something about a man. God has planned it that way. Now, I know in this humanistic society what I'm saying is completely inappropriate. Queen, they said, I was going down the street and I saw on a bumper sticker and it said, what is it? The best man for the job is a woman. I read that on a bumper sticker. The best man for the job is a woman. And I laughed and I said, I guess so. I try to drive and see who's driving the car. You know, I try to look at the face and see what kind of a person they appear to be. But I'm telling you that, yes, the best man for a job is a woman if she can handle the job. Amen. I agree with that. But I would not put that on the back of my car because that's saying that anything a man can do, what is a woman saying? I can do just as good. No, you can't. You are a woman. And you are on that level, and I'm a man, and I'm on another level. God has made it that way. If it was not so, Queen, we would be created unilateral, unisex. I was looking at a movie and... It blew my mind. And in the movie, the man says, we don't have on our planet male and female. We are all unisex. Well, that's not like that on this planet. God had a reason for making men, all right? And he still calls men. And he still calls fathers. And he still calls us as role models. And we're going to see this in this lesson, in this scripture. A picture this morning we see set forth today as an example. God is the father in this lesson. God is that father that's looking for that son, and the son is set forth, both sons are set forth as the nation Israel. both sons are set forth in that. There's a youngest son who is the primary object of this lesson. Really, when you read it in the scriptures, your Bible will tell you this is the lesson of the prodigal son, or the son that goes away. But I would like to lay this premise. There was also another prodigal son, the son that never left home. He was just as bad. But really, when you look at this lesson, the central figure is the father. Because both the younger son and the older son, follow along with me, responded naturally. It's a natural response. But the daddy responded totally out of human character. Think about it. What? He responded totally out of human character. That's why I said, Brother Carlton, you and I don't live up to this. Because in most cases, even Christians respond in human character and outside of the biblical character. Now, you got to follow along with me. I just don't want you to just listen to me preach. I want you to say, well, what does he mean, this father? He acted natural. Do you know men in your house that act like this? Do you know people around you that respond like this when there are rebellious children? No. No, we don't. So we're going to take a closer look at this model father this morning. And all Christians are obligated to look closely. Ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, pay attention to this lesson this morning. Because before this day is over, each of us in this room that can think logically will be put to the test as how we respond. Children, listen very close. Those of you that have fathers, I want you to be the judge. First, you Christian teens, and then you teens that are not Christians, you be the judge whether you have people living in your house that respond like this. Now, we must address the son, because he is why the father responded the way he did. A model father is a listening father. What is a model father? He is a listening father. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, I've been accused as a father in my home of not listening. I listen. I may not like what I hear, but I listen. And not clear if you may know what I'm talking about. We listen very well. See, I don't listen like a woman listens. I don't listen with emotion. I listen for facts and figures and substance. And then when I listen, I respond to what I hear. Well, you're not listening. I'm listening. And I'm looking. See, but the way women listen differently. Listen to me, Lena May. If you ever find that godly man and you marry him, Lena, I want you to understand you are different. You are different as night as day. You listen different. Ladies listen with emotion. Men listen deductively. That's just the way we're built. I said God created us different. I'm talking about a model father. Where, John, do you see where this father listened? Well, let's look at verses 11 through 13. And he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger son of them said to his father, now he's speaking to his father. He says, Father, he addresses him, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. In other words, give me my inheritance. When you look at Jewish custom, the oldest son is the one that got his inheritance first. And the older son issued the inheritance to the younger. Now the young rebellious boy said, give me my inheritance. The father could not deny that. Look what the father does. And he divideth unto them his living. He didn't just give the younger son his. He gave at the same time the older boy. He was a listening father. He listened. Young Buck said, Daddy, I'm tired of living under your roof. Give me what's mine. Daddy could have said, oh, no, wait a minute, you know the custom. I've got to give it to your older brother first, and you out of line. Well, I ought to take you in the barn and whip your behind real good. He didn't do that. He listened to him. I said, I listen, but I would have responded like this. How dare you tell me what to give you? It's not yours until I give it to you, and I'm not giving you anything. Listen to me, fathers. Listen to me. What they have coming to them from you by your promise is theirs. And if they get to an age of accountability, and whatever is theirs, and they ask you for it, and I'm talking about freedom. Like, let's say my daughter says, Daddy, I've been living in your house long enough, I want out. Guess what I'm going to do? Open the door. Leave. I listen very well. I'm not willing to stay in your house under your rules. I'm going to open the door. I says, do you need some money? Do you need a plane ticket? Do you need any food? Go. I'm giving it to you. Freedom is yours. See, I don't make mine stay home. I don't do that. What has yours, Brother Coleman, ever run away? They probably felt like it, but they can leave anytime they want. I said that he was a listening father. We listen better with our hearts instead of with our head. This father listened with his heart, not with his head. Ladies, listen to me. You listen too much with your head. See, now I know what I'm talking about. Listen with your heart. When your children say something to you, don't get all bent. Bend over and pray. Then you start listening with your head. I should say with your heart. Head listening is what gets us in a lot of trouble. You have to listen with your heart. Now, you have to hear it through your head. You have to see it through your head. But let's look at this father right here. We cannot respond properly unless attention is given. The younger boy came and said, give me what's mine. The role model daddy had to listen to him. He didn't cop a what? Attitude. Listen to me, fathers. He didn't cop an attitude. Now, some of you may be saying, John, I've been in your house when you copped an attitude. I told you before, I'm not the perfect father. I told you before, when I read the scriptures, God shows me that I haven't met this criterion yet. I am to govern myself according to this, every day of my life. Now, since I've read it, since I've studied it, since I'm preaching about it, my family should see a difference in my life. They should see a difference in yours, too. You should see a difference in their lives. The youngest son addressed the situation, give me what's mine. The daddy had to listen, and he gave him what's his. Therefore, fathers, listen to me. Husbands, listen to me. When your wife goes off on you and says, you're not giving me enough space, please, brethren, give them space. I'm the man. You don't tell me what to do. I'm in charge here. If I give you an inch, you'll be satisfied with it. If they say, give me space, give them a whole yard. That's right. You may have to, for a while, give them a room alone. You may have to, brethren, give them a house alone from your presence. Give me some faith. I'll give you more than that. I'll give you the keys. See? This father listened. Listen, brethren, listen. And listen, men, you masculine examples of what God, do not respond like a woman emotionally. See, too many men do that nowadays. Men are not taught to respond like men. They respond like women. Oh, what am I going to do? You're going to stop acting like a sissy and respond like a man. You're going to stand there and deduce everything and say, hey, none of these things move me. I am man. Who is that lady, ladies, that made that song, I Am Woman? Redding, yeah, whatever her name is. I Am Woman. W-O-M-A-N. Well, I ought to make a record. I am M-A-N. I have always been one. I will always be one. I am here forever. I was here before you were a woman. Amen. But I love you, woman. That's all right. The father loved him enough not to interfere with his wishes. Don't interfere when they get at that age, daddies, and they want to do their own thing, when they want to experiment with life. That's what this son did. He wanted to experiment. He wanted freedom. I want to see what's going on out there. I had to learn in the hard way when my oldest daughter came to me a year ago and said, Daddy, I think I want to go away to school. Woo! Boy, I got in my study and I couldn't handle that kind of pressure. As my baby go away to a different state and go to school, hey, I couldn't be there in 10 minutes. You ain't going nowhere. Oh, Lord, the fireworks in my house. I mean, I'm telling you, this daddy took some heat. Now I had gotten in my mind conditioned, you can go, sweetheart. She don't want to go. Amen. Is that right? See what I mean? So we fathers, I just, I really have to be flexible here. I said, wait a minute. I went through all this, and now I'm saying, please go. I need the room to enlarge my study. I can do this and do that. And then she told me, Jillian, I'm not going nowhere. I'm going, hey, it's too good. And Andrea, the cause of it, come by and said, I'm going to the same school she's going to. We're going to register together. Lord have mercy. But I, see, she's going to be there a few more days. Amen. I've got to put up with that. All right, what am I talking about? The father loved him enough not to interfere. The father saw further down the road than the son did. You model daddies, practice this. Practice looking further down the road than your children see. Practice looking at it from the spiritual standpoint instead of from the physical standpoint. There again, ladies, key in on me here today. Ladies, key in on the spiritual aspect instead of the physical aspect. I don't see it. That's emotion. You're not supposed to see faith. You're supposed to accept it. Well, I don't see what you see. Well, who placed who as the head of the house? God placed me, the man, you, the man, as the head of the house. Ladies, you can't see it. Take your hands off your hip. Don't let your backbone slip. Stand up or sit down. Listen to that man. Ladies, I'm going to tell you something. If God has given you a godly man that can stand up and make a decision, you've got something today. Now, you, Lena, man, am I telling the truth? There's a whole bunch of men out there that ain't worth nothing. They ain't worth nothing out there. They ain't about nothing. Ain't worth nothing. Can't make a decision for nothing. And all they're looking for is a woman to take care of them because they never learn how to be a man. Amen. And the best person that can teach you how to be a man is a God. Amen. Father saw further down the road. See, listening involves, brothers and sisters, a transmitter and a receiver. What are you talking about? Yes. Listening involves a transmitter, someone that transmits communication, and a receiver, something that receives the communication. Now, the problem is, in this process of communication, of listening, sometimes some of us are on different frequencies. Now, when I was in the Army, I was a radio teletype operator, and I was in this large communication system, and when I was speaking with the city like Busan, Korea, and I was stationed in Seoul, we were all on a particular frequency. And when I started at midnight, I had to come up. I was the net control leader, and I had to come over across in the teletype, and I would give the signals, and I would say, this is control. How do you read me? When I would take my key off, I'd turn on the receiver, and I would hear some. So I checked my frequency, and I was on frequency, and I'd come back and say, this is control, check your frequency. Then I'd wait about 10 seconds, and I'd say, this is control, how do you read me? And then I'd look at my teletype, and it would come right over, loud and clear. Both of us had to be on the same frequency. Father, when you communicate, make sure that you're on the same frequency as your receiver is. You're transmitting communication. Sometimes you're communicating so far over or so far below or outside of the context of the matter that the person you're communicating with, especially your family, don't know what in the world you're talking about. My wife and I were speaking the other day, and I said, wait a minute, we're communicating. It was something's not getting through. I said, let's slow down. Let's back this thing up. Something went wrong somewhere. See what I did? I said, take time. What are we saying here? In any relationship, it will not go unless both communicators are on the same frequency. This father was. Son said, give me the portion of my goods that falls to me. And he, the father, did what his son asked him to do. He was on the same frequency. Think about that. A model father is a teaching father. He's not only a listening father, but he is a teaching father. Where do you get that from, Pastor? Verses 16 through 18. And he, the son, would have eaten or filled his belly with the husk or the garbage that the pigs did eat. For no man gave the young man any food. He parted all of his money away. He wasted all of his substance that his father gave him. And he came to himself, and he said to himself, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? I said that the father is a teaching father. The father had taught his son, when you run out of everything, I will always have something for you. He taught him. The son was in a far country, but he remembered his father and his father's promises and his father's teachings. Fathers, I'm taking this biblical account and I'm making it earthly for you because you need to govern yourselves in that way. What do you teach? Now we see, of course, God teaching the nation Israel, I will always provide for you. I will always be your heavenly father. I will always be your spiritual teacher. I will always have you as my spiritual mentor. I will be your spiritual mentor, your teacher. You will always be my student. I will always have substance to give you. The son came to himself because the father taught right. Now, fathers, how do you teach? What do we teach? We teach by precept and example. In other words, we teach by precept. We teach by our code of ethics. We Christian men. No. You will be in church on Sunday morning. Oh, you will come to church with me. You will be there. Daddy, I have a meeting at the school this week. Can you show? No, I'm too busy. Okay, Daddy. But yet, Daddy, oh, you will be with me. We teach by precept as well as example. The father taught well. The son did not say, I know how it is if I go home. I'm going to be whipped with his mouth. I'm going to be scandalized and talked about. He's going to call all the servants out and ask them all to get a whip and whip me down. He's going to say, I told you so, you no good bum. Look at you. No shoes on your feet, breath stinking, looking like you need a bath for 6 months. Get out of my face, you rebel without a cause. And then call out the older boy. Come on, son, look at him. And then look at him, Daddy. I never did nothing like that. You daddy scoundrel, don't you never come around here. Women, throw rocks at him. No, he came to himself. He says, my daddy will take me in. He taught me something. Fathers, we teach by how we live. Listen, the model father even teaches when he's absent. The model father even teaches when he's absent. God teaches us when we are way, a long ways off. Some of you listening to this message right now, you may not come to Christ today. I hope that next week the Holy Spirit buffets your mind. That's him teaching you. Teaching you something. And he wants you to come home like this prodigal son came home. In verse 18, the father taught what sin was. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, for I have sinned. You see what that boy said? The father taught the boy what sin was. The boy got his lesson. And because the father taught well, the boy said, I'm going to come back and tell him that I got the lesson. I've thrown it all away. I've sinned. I'm coming back. I am coming back home. Do we do that? Or do we, as fathers, change and become flexible and become involved in the sin of our society? Well, Pastor, I know the way it's supposed to be now. I know how Christians are supposed to live, but John, it's hard, man. There's pressure coming all around me. Everybody's doing it, doing it, doing it. Everybody's doing it now, and so am I. Wow. You can stop that concept. You have got to say, though everybody's doing it, you've got to push the sin away from you and stand like a man and say, none of them things will move me, brother. I'm gonna be right here so that you can see me, unmovable. I was speaking with Reverend Freeman, Pastor Freeman that I know. Last night I was at his home, and I was saying, Freeman, did you know that there are many preachers today that are just as crooked, low good, no good, lousy, filthy examples? And he told me, he says, Pastor John, let me tell you, man, I went by a preacher that I knew for years, grew up with him. This preacher's younger than he is. Grew up with him, and he says, I went by his church study to see him, and the man act like he didn't know me. Then he told me a few other things, and he says, well, you see, I'm big now. Look on the wall. Had a bunch of degrees all on the wall. See, I'm not like you little preachers. Your little place down there in Florence. I'm big now. I can't associate around you. While he was telling me, I just started moving and moving around, and the man studying. I said, oh, man, you should have called me by there. I said, I wouldn't have scorched him. I just would have said, step back, Freeman. I said, why? God's going to take him out now. I know it. God's going to send a lightning bolt and take him out, and I don't know when he'll be in his study when it happens, when he materializes out of here. I'm telling you, you've got to communicate what sin is. Don't become flexible, fathers. I don't care how much you love your children. Don't bend for them. Call a shot, call sin, sin. They will respect you for it in the end. This boy said, when he came to himself, what if his father had been wishy-washy in his teaching? Well, I don't really know whether I've sinned or just come on bad times. Like Daddy taught me, what goes around comes around, so make sure you got everything covered. I just didn't cover it. His daddy didn't teach him that way. His daddy taught what sin was. And, of course, the Father is figured as God here. Our God is figured as the Father here, I should say. And we should realize that God teaches righteousness. And we should get the lesson well. Do we see the results of godly teaching in our homes? Do you see the results of godly teaching in your church? Will you listen to this message and allow it to do something in your life, or will you just pass it on? What else is a model father? A model father is a seeking father. I said he's a listening father, he's a teaching father, and he's also a seeking father. Verses 20 through 22. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father was vacationing in another land, laughing about his son. No, it didn't say that. And yet, when he was a long way off, his father was killing the fatted calf, giving a celebration for his son that had been there, because he had never did anything. No, it didn't say that. Let's take our focal point off the father and get to the son again. He's on the way home. He's way down the road, walking with a limp, because, you know, once you get down to starvation, your body, everything's messed up. Clothes all raggedy. Hair all over his head, flies all over his face, no shoes on his feet, legs and feet all cut up, stinking, smelling, hadn't had a bath in who knows when. He's probably looking like something out of a pit of hell. But, it tells me in verse 20, and he arose and went to come to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him. Hey, look at this. He said, Daddy was ever watching. Daddy said, I taught him well. I gave the precept, I gave the example, I lived the Christian life in front of him, I've given him up. That's why, Christian parents, when your kids rebel and leave and want to run off, don't you go crazy. Let them go. Did you live the example? Did you teach them? Did you give them the example? Yes, I was. Shut up and let them go. Open the door and let them go. But you be there at the front window looking every day of your life for them to come. And when they drive up, because they're not going to be walking, they may drive up in some Jeep, they may drive up in a Chevette or a Camaro or whatever it is, they may drive up, in a limousine. And when your kid drives up in a limousine because he's out there dealing and wheeling and selling and selling themselves and everything else, and you see him drive up in a limousine, don't go crazy. They may be coming to ask for your forgiveness. But when some of them drive up in limousines and things now, you get ready for war. There he comes. Where's my shotgun? Click, click. I'm going to blow him out the door when he comes in. You better stop that, father. Look at what this godly father did. I'm talking about this role model here. It says, father saw him and had compassion. See, I don't live up to this standard. Do you live up to this standard? We need to live up to this standard. He had compassion. He is a seeking father. As God seeks the sinner when he is afar off, the model father is to live likewise. I seek my children, your children. I seek members of the congregation. That's why I said, are you seeking them? Why don't you call them and ask them where they were? Are they sick? Do they need somebody to seek them? Do they need somebody to encourage them? A model father seeks to perform business instead of cursing. This father said, I see him coming to me with that limp. I see him all beat up, messed up, stinking, and I am the kind of father that God loves, and I'm going to seek him with my whole heart. Now, the next time your child does something, parents, that blows your mind, zero in on Luke 15 and 20. And I hope I'm there when I hear you going off. If I'm there and if I sit in my home, I'm going to say to my wife, Luke 15 and 20, compassion. Yet say that you have a daughter and she goes out there and she gets involved in an affair and she gets pregnant. And the first thing you want to do is go against the mandate of God and rip the baby out. No, no, no. Compassion. What about you when you were young? What about you when you fooled around? What about you? Are you legitimate or illegitimate? I never let them know. God knows. He knows. See? But we don't show that kind of compassion, do we? We are quick to be so self-righteous. This father was a seeking father. He is ready to receive. He was ready to forgive. Fathers, that's the kind of father we should be. Lord, help the pastor to live up to that. If anybody does anything to me, am I ready to forgive him? Ready to restore him? That brings us down to the fourth point. A model father is a restoring father. A father of restoration. I was speaking with a painter that's painting my house, and young man really struggling with trying to get close to God. And I said, the first thing that you have to do, young man, before you really get close to God the way I think you really desire to, is you have to restore. You have to get involved in restoration. You have to make right some wrongs. And as I was speaking with the young man, he said, that's the key that I've been looking for the past 6 months. He says, and you're the first one to tell me. I says, well, hey, the Lord gave it to me, and I took him. It was beautiful. We went through the scriptures right there on my new eating bar there in the house that he painted around it. We were going over the scripture, and I wrote the scripture down, and I said, now you read this, you study that. And he says, I'm not through with you, Coleman. He says, I want to keep in contact because I need a word from the Lord. Amen. Amen. So pray for me as I continue to minister to Andy. He's a good man. He needs the Lord, though. A restoring father, verses 22 and 23. Look at this. But the father said unto his servants after the son said, hey, make me to become. Now, you notice the son knew that he was really a son. He'd always be a son. But he said to the father, you just make me as. In other words, develop a new kind of a job program here. Put me in this new job working program. Make me a slave. I know I'm your son, but I'm not worthy to be your son. Don't you see the boy got his lesson well? His daddy taught him, if you're not worthy, you're undeserving of good things. How many of you daddies have children that want things and you have to tell them you don't deserve it? You don't deserve it. Well, daddy, well, you don't deserve it. You're no good. You don't do anything right. You don't deserve anything good. See, it takes a real man to tell his own child that. Now, look, let me tell you something. They're not going to love you when you tell them the truth. No, fathers, they're not going to love you. As a matter of fact, they're going to think of every reason in the world why they should detest what you've just told them. But you know what a good child would do? They would say, Daddy, show me where I don't deserve it. Then, Daddy, show them where they don't deserve it. Then, children, obey your father. Because the Bible says that if you obey them that have the rule over you, you'll have long life. But you know what most children do? They disobey their father because they don't like the dialogue. They say, no, Daddy, you fathered me, you clothed me, you fed me, but I want out. I'll open the door, hit the streets, and let's see if anybody else will love you like a real daddy will. They got some of these sugar daddies out here that will not love you. Some of these sugar daddies that will use you and abuse you and everything else. And when you come to your right mind, if you're mine, you can come back and daddy's going to be right there saying, hey, here it is. Same old rules, same old house, same old daddy. Nothing's changed. But you know what pride will make you do? Forget you, old man. I'd rather deal with the sugar daddies and take abuse than to take love. See, I'm telling you what a role model of a real father is. I'm not talking about one of these flexible, changeable things. All right. I said that he is a restoring father. He is ready to restore all rights and privileges. That's what a real daddy is. I'm ready to give all rights and privileges. But the father said unto his servants in verse 22, bring forth the best robe. Isn't that tough? Dress him up and put it on him and put the ring of authority on his hand to show that he is my son. And he said, wait a minute, wash his feet and then put leather shoes on him. Clean him up. Cut his hair. Shave him. Oh, let me tell you something. Can't you just see the son now? Right then when the father kisses him and the son is telling him, and then the father says, bring the best robe, bring the ring, bring some shoes. What do you think the son did? The son immediately starts crying. Daddy, 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 daddy. And daddy saying, shut up, boy, shut up. Hey, hey, get the fat cap. We're having a party. All the servants, you know, hushing and moving. So what's going on? Hey, is that the old dirty? Look at this, look. The father probably said, you're fired if you don't do what I told you to do. And servants immediately bowed down, obeyed the father. Joy in the house. I could see the cook in the kitchen now, starting to hum as she kills the fatted calf. Let's kill it. Let's bake it. Let's eat it. Look who's back. I always like that old boy. Look at it. Son probably walking from room to room, crying, tears of repentance. That's what it is when you come to know God. That's what it was when I came to know God. When I repented, I couldn't stop crying because I thought about his love for me and what he's done for me. And I, hey, hey, he just loved me. He restored me. He restored me with all rights and privileges. You see, genuine love is gentle love, Father. Genuine love is gentle. His father said, oh, can't you just see him hugging his son? Wouldn't let him go. Son probably had flies coming out of his head. The father hugged him. Sister Blake kissed him all on his neck, on his face. Tears of repentance from the boy, tears of joy from the father. He said, just leave me 5 minutes with him, hugging him, feeling him. Are you all right? Are you all in one piece? The boy trying to, man, I blew all that money. He said, shut up. Bring him, clean him up. Clean him up. Amen. Gentle love. There was no rebuke. There was no rebuke. Fathers, when your kids go off, don't rebuke them. Love them. Look at this role model. Love offers that son or that daughter undeserved place of sonship. Now, I may say that mine don't deserve all the good that I give them, but guess what? I am going to give them all of my goods. See what I mean? They don't deserve it. That's what grace is. That's what mercy is. Did you deserve salvation? No. You deserved a hell pit. You deserve nothing but a kick in the behind. That's all we all deserve from God. That's all we deserve. But he gave us grace and mercy. Now at the same time, tell them when they don't deserve goodness and mercy. But then be a gentle father and give it. Brother and sister, people will look at you and say, whoo, you are some kind of a man. No, 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 I have some kind of a God. And he makes me this way. Because on my own, I'd give him a boot. See what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of father he is. Love offers that son or daughter that place of sonship. And lastly, the model father is a justifying father. What do I mean by that? Well, we have to deal and address homeboy. Homeboy who never, Jackie, left home. Who is said in the scriptures, I've never broken any of your laws. I kept all of them, Daddy. When you told me to go, I went. When you told me to win, I went. When you told me to jump, I jumped. When you said real high, real high. Well, my question is to that older sons, why did you do it? Because if you have an attitude like this, sounds like to me you did it against your will. That you really resented your daddy. Because if you had gotten the lesson that daddy taught the younger son, which he obviously had gotten, that's why he came back home, you would also be what? Rejoicing. Something's wrong, homeboy. You never sinned outwardly. You spoke your religious language because, see, Jesus was addressing the religious leaders of his day here. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the holy Joes. You've got the lesson. Well, why don't you rejoice? Even the servants are rejoicing. Couldn't you see it now? The father said, drop all them plows. We're going to have a party. You know, the servants got happy. Oh, man, it's a holiday in the middle of the week. Let's have a party. Older son. Out there in the vineyards, working like his daddy told him to do, all of a sudden he hears the music. What is this? And he walks in and he goes to his vineyard and says, what's going on here? Didn't I tell you to plow that part of the field? What are you? No, 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 no. Your daddy is called the truth. It's happy time. Your brother is home. Now, I want you to figure in your mind how homeboy walked. He dropped all of his little clipboard with all of his rules and instruction, and he began to run home. But as he ran home, something happened in his heart. That no good scoundrel, I heard about all those prostitutes he had. Could it be that homeboy wished that he was there with him?
I heard about all those parties that he had. Could it be that homeboy longed to let his hair down and have fun, but couldn't because he would lose all that inheritance? I heard about all the friends that he had. Could it be because homeboy's disposition was so selfish and evil that he couldn't gain a friend no how, because he wasn't the kind of a friendly guy that you like to be around? See, Jesus knew exactly why he gave this parable, because he knew that the people that he was talking to was just like that. And I am purposed to say that within this building right now, within these walls, within anybody that listens to this sermon, you may be like that too. Homeboy, I'm in the church. I count the money. I'm always, Pastor John, at your side. Then when you see some old harlot, some old homosexual, some prostitute, some gangster, some dopehead come to Christ, get up, walk down the aisle, fall down in repentance and say, I have sinned against God, and the pastor leaves a pulpit and embraces them and say, oh, God, I love you, man. And you know that guy sold more dope. You know that woman laid with many, many men. And you say, how dare you touch him? He's dirty. She's filthy. I said, what have you been doing all these years around the church? What have you been learning? I expected you to come down there and hug him with me. Why couldn't you come down there and hug him? I've never stooped. Yeah, you homeboy, you just like this older son. But let's see how the father was a justifying father. The Christian father ought to be ready to give an answer to everybody for the hope that lies within him. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter tells us that. He says, be always ready to give a man the answer for the hope that lies within you. We've got to be ready. Look at this father. First, let's look at this son. Son in verse 30 says, but as soon as this thy son, speaking to the father, he didn't even call his brother by his name. Ain't that cold-blooded? As soon as this thing you call a son, see the attitude? Yeah, you got in the church like that. This old dirty piece of flesh. Amen. That's the kind that the Lord saved. That's what you were, brother, before he saved your wicked, rotten soul. But then, I don't know whether you've been saved. Amen. Amen. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured his living with harlots, and you notice Jesus in the first part of the dialogue didn't say nothing about that, so obviously the son knew. Son must have been keeping tabs on his brother. He out there with prostitutes and you have killed for him? That calf that I thought was mine? You see what's happening here? It's all coming out now. So, and guess what? The daddy knew who his older boy, he knew who he was all the time. He knew who he was all the time. And his daddy said unto him, son, you forever with me. You know, he said, brother, any calf in the pen you could have had. All you've had to say is, give me the fatted calf, I would have given it to you. You are here all the time. Brother, what's your problem? And all that I have is yours. I'm saying that he's a justifying father. He says, it was necessary. That's what meat means here. It was necessary that we should make merry. It was imperative that we should make merry. This is beautiful. This is a picture of God our Father responding to the religious leaders, and he also responds to us. God will deal with every human response and even deals with this wayward son here. I'm telling you that even when the church gets out of joint, God is going to deal with you in a necessary way. When your family gets all out of disjoint, God is going to deal with that family in a certain way to bring it back in a relationship with him. I'm telling you, the effect was neutral from this father to both of his boys. Neutral. He didn't love one over the other. Ladies, I said that you operate on an emotional response. I hope you never do this. Do never love one of your children more than the other. Because your children are going to see it right up front. And they're going to detest you for it. Love them both the same. I think of Diane out there. You love that little girl like you love that little boy. Don't you set one up over the other. If you give one a birthday party, you give the other one a birthday party. Amen. You buy one a pair of shoes, the other one got holes in his shoes, buy him a pair of shoes. Judy, same thing for you. But John, I got five. Amen. Love them all. They said, don't say, well, I love you more than this one.
What?
That child is going to come up and he's going to realize that situation, and that child is going to hate you. He's going to hate your guts. Say, you showed me that you love me more than them. And that child is going to become rebellious, and then when you get on your knees and put your hands up and say, why, God, I hope the boy hears you and come back and say, because you've treated me, or him, or her, with special favor, and you never treated me that way. Arika, because you're the only daughter, that doesn't mean that you're better than them boys.
Well, Mama, give me a dress. You always buy them jeans.
I say, buy her a pair of jeans, too. Amen. See them all alike. This father was not partial. He was impartial. The effect was neutral when it came to judging things. It was fit, he says. It was fitting. It was feasible. It was favorable that we have this party. Everything was right on time. It's in good practice. It's preferable. It's proper. What's your problem, son? He was a justifying father. He says, for this thy brother was dead, he is alive again, he was lost, and now he is found. And you notice in verse 32, he puts right back on his son the rhetorical sense. He says, you said this thy son, the father says in verse 32, for this thy brother, that you won't even call his name, this one, he's alive. And in essence, he was saying to that older son, you are dead at this moment. You never deserved the fatted calf. I knew what you were because I'm your daddy. And I tried to help you while you were here with me, and I seen that you failed the test. I prayed for him to come back because I knew that when he come back, you would have to take the test. You failed. You're dead. He's alive. He deserves the fatted calf. You never did. You better watch it, those of you in church. You had better watch it. Some of you think you deserve heaven because you might be close to the pastor, living in the pastor's home. Hell may be your eternal habitation. You had better get that thing right with God. You better get it right. Listen, he, the Father, corrects the one that stands in need of correction. Sinner, listen to me as I end this up. If you are living in sin like the prodigal son, you need a role model father like Jesus gave. And Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, is that Father which can save you. He treats equal both who deserve that treatment. God will give you salvation if you ask Him. God will restore you if you ask for restoration. What else does He do? He follows the God-set pattern set forth that Christ has given in this example. You do it if you're that kind of a father. If not, you're going to become shabby, weak, and immature and do anything you figure you want to do. Lastly, he, this father, understood the significance used when he said, this, my son that was dead, is now alive. Everything that Jesus said was for a purpose. When you look at these two boys, when you look at the father, when you look at the far country, when you look at the whole parable, today it's pointing at you. Now, for you Christian men, seek to live like this example of a godly father. And I mean you Christian men that may not be married, but are fathers. Live like it. God expects it. For you young men coming up, this is your pattern. Right here. If you have a godly father, young men coming up, look to him as he looks to the Lord. For those of you who said, Jesus, I wish I could be like that, I'm glad you said Jesus. You can. He's the one that can help you be like that. But first of all, you've got to take him. You've got to take him. Ladies, this goes for you. You've got to take him. You've got to open up your heart and say, I want to be saved. Why? And so I can be like that godly father. I want to be saved. Why? And so that I can not show John, but that I can show my heavenly father that he has made a great impression on my heart today, that I want to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. This is invitation time. What do you do to come to Christ? You have to do like the prodigal son did to his father. You have to come to yourself. Come to yourself and say, no, too long I've been in a far country. Too long I've been away. John is not my role model of that father. So when you get up out of your seat and come down the aisle, you're not coming to John. You are coming to Christ, who is the invisible heavenly father that becomes tangible when you invite him in your heart. That's what I'm asking you to do, to take Christ as your Savior. Teenager, I'm telling you something. You may have an earthly father. There's nothing like a heavenly father. Because that Heavenly Father is always gentle like this, and He wants to gently come into your presence. He wants to gently flood you with His love. I want you to come to Jesus today.